Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your health. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Here is Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Doc, thanks for joining us again. How are you today?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm really good. I was listening to my friends talk about Cape Middleton and how the monarchy handled and how she and her husband handled her disappearance for 2 weeks from public view. And then the revelation that she has a kind of cancer that I don't think we have since figured out what that is. I wonder if you have any guess on what kind of cancer a young woman would get that would be discovered not as a cancer screen, but some abdominal surgery, and therein they discovered a kind of cancer.
I don't think we have enough information about what happened with the princess to be able to speculate what kind of cancer it is. And, you know, I really don't want to. I also have to say, I feel badly for her and her family, you know, being in the public spotlight like they are, and now having a situation that where they were asking for personal and family privacy. It is really a difficult situation to be in.
Yeah, I don't think she did anything wrong. She's a person with a family, and I know she married into royalty, but I think your humanness trumps your royalty. So if she wants to get surgery and not tell everybody about it, and for that matter, if she wants to doctor a Facebook photo, I don't care if she does. But is it possible that somebody, I guess, could have some sort of cancer and not know it, and it just gets discovered by some other means, that there wasn't a cancer screen for it? Does that make any sense?
Yeah. You know, John, that happens frequently, actually. We know she had some kind of abdominal surgery. We have that happen. Somebody comes in, and we might think it's a pretty innocuous problem, an appendicitis, something like that. And when our surgeon goes in and looks, it turns out there's a cancer there that was not known. So it does happen. It's not shocking when it happens. It's obviously shocking to the patient. But for those of us that take care of patients in the hospital, we see this pretty frequently.
And I guess there's no way for any of us to know. I mean, lucky her, she went in for one type of procedure and maybe discovered this. This could have, who knows, been even worse, eh?
Yeah, and there's plenty of times that happens where an individual has something strange and bizarre happen out of the blue, and we investigate it, and we wind up making an early diagnosis of cancer where we can cure that cancer. That's obviously the wonderful situation, and that's what we're always hoping for. But I think, John, that what this really brings to fore is that people need to keep up with the recommended cancer screenings, right? Rather than us worry about those things that we cannot detect, people really need to keep up with the recommended cancer screening. So, for example, mammography in women looking for early breast cancer, typically starting around the age of 40. That's really, really important, breast cancer being as common as it is. People 45 and older, keeping up with colonoscopy. I know no one likes talking about it, but boy, that's such an important screening test. I'm always so sad when I hear about somebody who was diagnosed with metastatic colon cancer, because for the most part, if people were to follow the recommendations for colon cancer screening, we pretty much always can identify changes early and keep that from happening. So that's another really good example of cancer screening that people should be keeping up with.
I was actually reading Pre-K Middleton about colon cancer, and I don't know if it was the screening so much as don't be afraid to talk about your stools or your biology with your doctor. And one of the things that the article said is if you have thinner stools or if you've noticed changes or unusual sensations, don't just shrug it off. Be proactive about it. Do you have any comment on that?
I agree totally. You know, no one should ever feel embarrassed to talk about their bowel movements with their physicians. We're all used to it. You know, particularly people like me in primary care. There isn't a day that goes by where I don't have those conversations multiple times a day. So please, nobody feel embarrassed. Nobody feel hesitant about talking about changes with your bowel habit, because that might be a sign that there's something serious going on, and we're going to want to diagnose that as early as possible. John, another good example, women who start having unusual abdominal or pelvic discomfort, symptoms of various kinds, that could be a sign of something like ovarian cancer, where we're going to want to make that diagnosis so we can treat it earlier instead of later. And that's always the better situation.
Well, in the case of Kate Middleton, and then there was Olivia Munn, who, 43, announced on Instagram she had breast cancer last year. Jessica Pettway, I'm just reading from a list, a beauty influencer who's quite popular and has a following, died of cervical cancer at 36. Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther star, died in 2020 from colon cancer at the age of 43. And this article here is just pointing out the number of well-known people who at quite young ages are getting or sometimes dying from cancer. I suppose that's just a case of well-known people and our exposure to them rather than an uptick in cancers afflicting young people. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think two things. One is with social media, we know a lot about lots of people that in the past we didn't know about. Yeah. Jen, I remember when, you know, back in the olden days when we were kids, people didn't talk about cancer diagnosis like they do now. It's way better now that people are far more open about this and they talk about it. And with social media, people are able to get the word out to many, many more folks than ever before in history. That can be a good thing. And as we know, there's also some negative that can come with that. Now, the other point here is there is some early indication that younger people indeed are developing cancer in maybe numbers that we haven't seen before in the past. We don't know for sure. There's some early indication about this. I'm not willing to say that this is a real public health problem yet. There's a lot of research going on looking at this. I don't want anyone to panic over it, but, you know, it certainly could be that with different changes, perhaps in diet, other environmental influences, that perhaps the age of onset of cancer is getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why. We don't know in whom, but it's the kind of thing that we have to keep our antenna up for. And we'll learn over time whether that's true or not.
I hope so. I was wondering if it just might be more testing that you see more diagnoses. Hey, doctor, just as we wrap up that last conversation, somebody said, can you ask the doctor if an at-home colonoscopy test is adequate versus actually going under? What's your thought about that?
Yeah, so there's a test called Cologuard, John, which is probably what the listener is referring to.
Yeah.
It's good. It's accurate. It's a terrific screening test. I myself am still a proponent of colonoscopy, being able to get in there, direct visualization. But Cologuard is very good, and I think in the near term, we're going to see more non-invasive screening tests for colon cancer that will be very, very good.
At what age should I start to make sure I get my either a colonoscopy or the Cologuard test regularly done?
Yeah, so the recommendation now, if somebody doesn't have additional risk factors, is 45. Wow. It used to be 50 years of age, but 2 years ago, the because of the incidence of younger cases of colon cancer, The age was dropped from 50 to 45.
Okay. More about that on another perhaps conversation. Some Ozempic users are getting pregnant while on the birth control, They're on birth control, but they still get pregnant, but they're also taking Ozempic. Is Ozempic overriding birth control?
Ozempic helps fertility in some women, particularly women who are overweight for reasons that will also impact their fertility. So by losing weight, they get their hormonal balance back into better balance.
Yeah.
And they can become fertile that way. You know, John, it's interesting as we talk about Ozempic and drugs like that, and we've now been talking about this for well over a year. It's interesting, isn't it? As more and more experience is being gained in real time, we're all witnesses now to what happens when certain types of medications start to be used by more and more people, and we start learning together what the impact of that medication is beyond what the initial indication for the medicine is. It's really very, very interesting. And that's what we're seeing. And this is another example of that.
Viagra wasn't designed as an ED drug, was it?
It was not. That's right. That's right. And some of the men who were taking it early on for other reasons found that it had the ED effect.
So, yeah, hello.
And it became a huge drug because of that.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Lake Forest Hospital. Lots more questions for you next time, Doctor. We always appreciate your help.
All right. Good talking to everybody. Stay well.